Today, I want to have a conversation about something vital for team success that's likely sabotaging your team's performance, and that's ineffective decision-making. In our industry, whether on a capital project or on an operations team, tens of thousands of decisions must be made every day. It's nonstop, really. Somebody, somewhere, needs a decision to be able to do their job and keep the team's progress moving forward. Leaders have either been admired or fired as a result of their team's decision-making. It's like oxygen. We all need it, or we won't last long. And in today's conversation, I'm going to unpack the first of three causes of ineffective decision-making. And we'll talk about the other two causes of ineffective decision-making in some future episodes down the road a bit. This is the Team of a Lifetime show. I'm your host, Sally Love, and I have helped hundreds of leaders in industrial manufacturing, construction, and on capital projects of up to $24 billion, transform their failing or mediocre teams into exceptional teams. Teams that delivered results that people didn't even believe were possible. And that's what the Team of a Lifetime show is all about. Success stories, successful team approaches, and lessons learned to help you transform your team into the team of a lifetime. If you've ever experienced ineffective decision-making, and I'm guessing that you have, then you know the consequences. Missed deadlines, blown budgets, inferior quality of work, and low morale, to name a few. And this last one, low morale, is really key because when your team has low morale, you're really on a slippery slope because low morale ripples through a team and causes confusion, chaos, and really strained relationships. And that certainly doesn't set up a team to be exceptional. A while back, I asked my clients and some other respected industry leaders to identify the biggest issues impacting their team's performance. And after we got the results in and we tallied them, ineffective decision-making ranked at the top of the list. The only other issue that even came close to ineffective decision-making was unclear roles and accountabilities, and I will address that in a future episode as well. I wasn't surprised, though, that ineffective decision-making ranked at the top of the list because we work with a lot of leaders, and in our work with them, we conduct many team assessments. And often, we assess a team's processes. We go really deep on processes to pinpoint which processes are working well and which processes are sabotaging the team. And invariably, one of the least effective team processes is decision-making. The data from our team process assessment shows that most teams' decision-making process is woefully lacking. In fact, out of a possible score of 100%, decision-making barely scores above 50%. Decision-making is such a crucial component of team success. Decisions and the process that we use for making and communicating decisions impacts every aspect of team performance. Think about it. Decisions even impact the very livelihood of the people who've been entrusted to us as leaders. It's really important that we get decision-making working well for our teams. So let's take a closer look at what we can do to greatly improve our decision-making process. The very first place that decision-making gets off track is with decision rights or decision authority. The bottom line is, all too often, team members don't know who is actually supposed to be making the decisions they need. And this should not be a secret. This should be widely known among our teams. So what happens in our industry is that decision rights are either not defined at all, and you would probably be shocked to know how often this is the case, or decision rights might not be clearly defined, or If they are clearly defined, they are changing frequently. Either way, it's unclear to the team who should be making the decisions that they need. So defining decision rights is crucial for teams as it ensures that the right people are making the right decisions at the right time. Just recently, I was working with one team and the project controls manager, Kyle, needed a decision, and it was a critical decision. Kyle was under pressure because the project schedule had already slipped, and he and his very large project controls team were trying to provide new strategies to the leadership team, key information, strategies, different approaches, so that the whole team could attempt to get the project back on schedule. And there was no doubt in Kyle's mind or the leadership team's minds that this was a crucial decision, and they all believed that the decision would be forthcoming really quickly. Kyle waited and waited and waited. And every time Kyle would go into a meeting, someone would ask, "Do we have that staffing decision yet?" The pressure mounted and Kyle's stress increased. Finally, when Kyle felt that he just couldn't wait any longer, he went to see the person he thought was making the decision to ask the guy about it. He sat down in the guy's office and he said, "Hey, look, we're just about out of time for that staffing decision we need. Is there anything, any additional information or anything that my team can help you with so that we can get that decision?" And Kyle told me that the look on the guy's face said it all. He looked at Kyle and he said, "I know that's a crucial decision because we've got to get this project back on schedule. But I'm not aware that I'm supposed to be making that decision." Kyle couldn't believe it. He could not believe that this guy had just said this. Here he and his team and the whole project leadership team had waited for weeks believing that this guy was making the decision. Only he wasn't. So now all that time had passed and nothing in the way of making that decision had even begun. And the lack of decision-making had a domino effect. It impacted not just Kyle, not just the project controls team. It impacted the entire leadership team, the contractor, and a key supplier. I wish I could tell you that this is an unusual situation that Kyle experienced, but it isn't. This happens so often. So start improving your decision-making process on your team by identifying who has decision rights or decision-making authority. Write it down. Create a matrix or some other kind of document. Don't put the burden on your team of trying to figure out who has those decision rights. That's certainly not a good use of their time. Then, once you've identified who has the decision rights, communicate it like crazy. Shout it from the rooftop. Send it out to everybody. Take out a billboard if you need to. Whatever you need to do, you've got to share this information. For heaven's sakes, don't create some really good-looking document and have it sit somewhere and not see the light of day. Decision rights, including spending approval authority, need to be widely communicated to your team. Now, after you get your decision rights matrix developed and you communicate it, I want you to be prepared. You're going to need to review it and revise it often. You know, organizational structures are changing rapidly. People get promoted, they move to a different part of the company, or they may even leave the company altogether for a better opportunity. And if you're leading a capital project, you know that stakeholders come and go throughout the project, and that keeps the decision matrix constantly changing. So don't think this is a set it and forget it, because it's not. You're going to need to update your decision matrix often. Because what's happening now is that just when the team has figured out who should be making decisions, it changes. Because the team composition changed. So just accept the fact that This is an evergreen document that needs to be updated frequently and communicated every time it's changed. Another reason that decision-making has become a big issue is that decision rights, along with spending approval rights, are being elevated to progressively higher and higher levels. And that means that the person ultimately making certain decisions is not necessarily qualified to make them. And that's a problem. And outstanding leaders know from experience that decisions are best made by the qualified people closest to the situation, not necessarily those holding the highest positions. So really take a look at your organizational structure with your team and figure out who is the person closest to the situation that can make a high quality decision and delegate that. Don't elevate it up higher and higher. I've been asked a lot of times why organizations do that, why they elevate decision making to someone other than the person closest to the work. And the reason is a low trust culture. One of the leaders who participated in our biggest issues questionnaire summed it up perfectly. He said, "A low trust culture discourages decision making for fear of making what may be perceived as the wrong or politically incorrect decision." Be sure to check out my previous episode on the Team of Lifetime podcast for really helpful tips on how you can quickly improve trust on your team, because improving trust will allow you to put in a much better decision-making process as well. So as the leader of your team, be willing to assign decision-making authority based on what's best for your team, not just what's politically correct. Let's quickly review some key points. Number one, decisions are crucial for your team's success. Your team's got to have them, just like we've got to have oxygen. Number two, ineffective decision-making is a big problem in our industry, and it's sabotaging team performance. Number three, the first place to start improving decision-making is to clearly define decision rights and decision authority, and then communicate that information far and wide. Write it down and make sure you share it widely. Often, decision rights are either not defined at all, they're not clearly defined, or they have changed because of recent changes in the team, but those changes haven't been communicated. And then four, ensure that decisions are made by the qualified people closest to the situation, closest to the work, not necessarily those holding the highest positions in the organization. It might be hard for you to imagine that defining decision rights could have such a big impact on a team performance, but it does. And once you define decision authority and you widely communicate it, you'll see a positive change almost immediately. There's no better time to get started improving your decision-making process than today. Hey, thank you for being here today on this important conversation of decision-making. If this was valuable to you, will you share it? And let me know what questions you have about developing exceptional teams. And you might just hear your answer right here in the future. Join me next week for another episode of the Team of a Lifetime show.